Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2. I heard this statement the other day about being blatantly generous. That's an interesting combination of words, isn't it? You don't usually think of someone doing something blatantly that's on a good side. But you know, I think sometimes it's good that we are blatantly generous. Because our Lord was blatantly generous, loving us so much that he was willing to come from the glories of heaven down here to planet Earth. But the book of Luke chapter 2, let us stand together if you would, please. Luke chapter 2, and we'll read the first 7 verses. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Don't you love that word, taxed? And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the end. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for your love. Thank you for your patience. Thank you, Lord, for second opportunities. Lord, we just thank you for this Christmas season. For Lord, we know it's not the gifts and the tree. It's you who have come down from heaven to be our Redeemer. Thank you, Lord, for this day. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We will continue to read from the book of Luke, chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field. That's pretty why, it's the reason that we know that Christ was not born in December. Because in Israel, it's very cold this time of year, and the shepherds would not have been in the field. Keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. One of the great things about this time of season are the lights. Don't you like Christmas lights? I've often thought it would be nice to wrap Christmas lights along the garland, along the side of the auditorium and across the front. Don't you think that'd be really neat? I think that would. And maybe next year one of you will do that. Yes. Excuse me? I do have experience with ladders. Did you and Gary talk about this? Okay. If you don't know what they're talking about, I'm not going to tell you. Over on Mary Grove and Alpine, which is off Sal Road, there has been a house over the last 10 years that lights up the sky. They probably have 50 blow-up ornaments in the front yard. They have lights everywhere. Now, I would suggest if you have children or grandchildren that you go buy that house. They could charge admission. And sometimes you have to be very careful because there's so many other cars wanting to watch that house. The lights are amazing. And I like Christmas lights. Though I have never decorated my house, I appreciate you that do. Because I think it's really nice. The art historian Seymour Slive describes the great Dutch artist Rembrandt as the master of light and shadow, calling Rembrandt a compelling storyteller on canvas. And he comments on Rembrandt's painting, The Adoration of the Shepherds, portraying the darkening stable in Bethlehem where the shepherds kneel beside the manger, while other people stand farther away. In the painting, one man holds a lantern, but the brightest light shines not from his lantern, but from the Christ child, illuminating those who have gathered close to him. 7 centuries before the birth of Christ, 7 centuries, Isaiah used an image of light and shadow to foretell the coming of the Savior for Israel. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, from the book of Isaiah chapter 9. Now each person may see this painting of Rembrandt differently, but perhaps each one of us is represented in that picture. Some are kneeling to worship. Others standing back in hesitation, while still others are hiding from the light that penetrates the darkness. And folks, may I say this, we live in a dark and sinful world. But the Lord is still the light of the world, and we are to reflect that light. Last week in the bulletin, there was this quote, "Faith in Christ is not a leap into the dark, it's a step into the light." Are you in the light today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Do you have that light in your life? Jennifer Benson Schultz writes, "On the day of our church's Christmas celebration, I watched the choir members as they filed into the choir loft. I noted the music director as he rifled through papers on a slim black stand. Then the pianist and organist began, and the singers launched into a song that started with the words, 'Come, now is the time to worship.' Although I expected to hear a time-honored Christmas carol, I smiled at the choice of music. For earlier that week, I had been reading Luke's account of Jesus' birth, and I noticed that the first Christmas lacked our modern-day parties, gifts, and feasting. But it did include worship. I think it's great that we can come and worship the Lord. I wish more people would have a desire to worship the Lord on this day. But do you think that if we were to go over here to Lakeside Mall, we'd find a few people there? And if we went to Kohl's, do you think there are a few people at Kohl's? You know, the fact of the matter is my subdivision opens up right there at Kohl's. I wish they would have put Kohl's and Lakeside Mall over on Mound and not over here on Chainer between there and Hayes. In our mind's eye, can we see the angel as it announces Jesus' birth to some wide-eyed shepherds? And then a choir of angels began praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." Do you think they asked for volunteers in heaven to go and to sing? I think they did. I think they said, "Who wants to go and praise Jesus' name?" And I think they all began to raise their hands, and God the Father had to pick and choose which ones were going. Are you willing to volunteer to praise the name of the Lord? Are you willing to declare his honor and his glory? Can you see the shepherds as they hurriedly moved towards Bethlehem, where they found the newborn king lying in a manger? Again, in last week's bulletin, this thought: heaven's choir came down to sing when heaven's king came down to save. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. I hope all of you know Jesus Christ is your Savior today. I hope all of you know that if you were to stand up in a few minutes and you were to suddenly feel pain in your left arm and in your heart area, and you fell over the pew and passed away, I hoped all of you could say, or any of you who had that happen, and I hope it doesn't, but I hope you know Christ as your Savior. My mother-in-law lies in a bed there just off 32 Mile Road, and I was expecting my wife to be here this morning. I hope that's not bad news. But in talking to Mrs. Darren, she said, "I'm ready to go home," much like my mother did a year ago. Ready to go home. And she wasn't talking about 70 Townsend. She was talking about her heavenly home. Are you ready? Are you prepared? I read from Anne Cetus. She writes, "We felt as if our Christmas was being canceled last year. Actually, our flight to see our family in Missouri was canceled due to snow." Aren't you glad there's no snow out there? I mean, every time there's snow, it costs the church $80 to have it plowed, and if they salt, that's $95. I tell you what, I'm sick and tired of snow, because I see it as dollars. But she said it was canceled due to snow. Last year we had a lot of snow and a lot of cold. It's been our tradition for quite a few years to celebrate Christmas with them in Missouri. So we were greatly disappointed when we only got as far as the Twin Cities in Minnesota and had to return home to Michigan. On Sunday, in a message we would have missed, our pastor spoke about expectations for Christmas. He caught my attention when he said, "If our expectations for Christmas are gifts and time with family, we have set our expectations too low. Those are enjoyable and truly things we're thankful for. But Christmas is the celebration of the coming of Christ, our Redeemer." My favorite Christmas verses are not found in Matthew or Luke, but in the book of Galatians, chapter 4. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." He came to redeem us. In Luke 2, we find that it is not just the account of the birth of Christ in Bethlehem, but also of two faithful saints of our Lord, Anna and Simeon. Simeon, a just and devout man, upon seeing Mary and Joseph enter the temple in Jerusalem with the baby Jesus, said, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. For there's no other name given among men whereby ye must be saved." Jesus Christ is our Savior. And then Anna, a prophetess, about 100 years old, gave thanks unto the Lord and spake of him to them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Our redemption comes through Jesus Christ. We cannot work our way to heaven. No matter how good we are, God is not going to weigh our good works against our bad works. What he's going to look to see is if you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed for you and for me. Hebrews 1:3 says, "When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." Once the job was done, he went back to heaven to sit by the Father. I read about Nathan, age 8, who was working hard with the help of his grandfather to build a birdhouse for his mother for a Christmas gift. He referred to it as his secret project. You ever have a secret project? I remember a number of years ago, Dad, when Mother was making all of us ties. And she made a tie for you and a tie for Bob and a tie for me. Do you remember that? And I remember we would open the door to the house and there would be this scurrying around it. Doors were being slammed as she would be putting away the material. And I wondered, what is she up to? And then on Christmas Day, we found out she had made us ties. Well, this was a secret project, and he poured all his energy into it. And most importantly, we realized it was motivated by love. He calculated the number of hours he thought it would take, and he figured it would take 7.5 hours. Now, I have found this, that no project ever takes as little time as you think it's going to take. It's going to take 3 trips to Lowe's, probably 1 to the Orange Store also, and maybe 1 to Ace Hardware. It's just amazing. But he figured 7.5 hours, I guess because he was working with his grandpa. He decided what colors it should be painted, yellow with a blue roof. And then on Christmas morning, he insisted that it be the first gift opened. And he beamed with pleasure when his mother said she liked it. See, Nathan's gift was given in the true spirit of the gift whose birth we celebrate. See, God the Father, moved by his great love, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. You know why he didn't come to condemn it? It was already condemned by our sins. But that the world through him might be saved. I always feel sorry for those who were taught that, well, if you live a good enough life and if you work hard enough, God's going to let you into heaven. That's not how it's done, folks. We are saved through the grace of God. We must come to him and asking for his mercy. On 2 different occasions, a number of our members have, at this time of year, had a radio theater reading based on O. Henry classic tale of the Gift of the Magi, which tells of Jim and Della, a young married couple who were struggling financially. Have you ever struggled financially? Don't raise your hands. But I do remember one time when my wife and I were struggling financially and I was hungry and the only thing in the house was a can of peas. And you all know how I feel about peas. And I was so hungry, I opened the can of peas and cooked them and then put mustard on them, which did not help. But as Christmas approached for Jim and Della, they wanted to give special gifts to each other, but their lack of money drives them to drastic measures. Jim's prized possession is a gold watch, while Della's is her long, beautiful hair. In sheer unselfishness, Jim sells his watch to buy combs for Della's hair, while Della sells her hair to buy a chain for Jim's watch. The story has deserved our, shall we say, appreciation, for it reminds us that sacrifice is at the heart of love. And sacrifice is love's truest measure. And this idea is particularly appropriate for Christmas because sacrifice is the true heartbeat of the story of the birth of Christ. See, we have to realize that Jesus Christ did not come so that we could give gifts at Christmas time. Now you say, Pastor Paul, you don't think we should give gifts? I didn't say that at all, did I? Don't misquote me. I'm glad we can give gifts. The Bible tells us it is better to give than to receive. Do you agree with that? All right. But that's not why we have the birth of Christ to celebrate. But may I say this, and let me say this so you will totally know what I mean. Only Christians know how to celebrate Christmas. Only Christians know what it means to celebrate Christmas. Now, a lot of people take advantage of the season, but only Christians know what it's all about. Only Christians. Last week's bulletin had this thought: the birth of Christ brought God to man, but the cross of Christ brought man to God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." 1 Peter 1:18 through 20, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world." That brings me to the conclusion. No amens. But Halford Luckock wrote, "We can become so charmed with the story of a baby that we grow sentimental about it. It does not ask that we do anything about it. It does not demand any vital change in our way of thinking or living. But the question he asks is, does your Christmas celebration stop at the story about a baby? Or is it about the person into whom the baby grew, who can redeem us from our sins, and who calls us into partnership with his great and mighty purposes?" Matthew 1:21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Shall we stand together? He shall save his people. As we sing a song of invitation, number 17, "Have Thine Own Way," have you accepted that unspeakable gift, that gift of salvation? Have you said yes to him and opened your heart to him? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the love of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the salvation that we have through him. And Lord, we thank you for the fact that Jesus Christ was willing to leave heaven's glory to come to be our sacrifice. Thank you for the shed blood of Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.